A new poll says Embattled House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has approval ratings nearly as low as Newt Gingrich when he was the primary lightning rod in Congress. The CNN Opinion Research Survey says that the approval of how Pelosi is doing her job as Speaker has dropped from 51% in January to 46% in March to 39% now, with 48% saying they disapprove of her performance. The San Francisco-based congresswoman has been blasted by Republicans like Gingrich after her attempts at explaining what she knew about waterboarding from a CIA briefing made matters worse for her last week. Some liberals are unhappy that she didn't try to stop enhanced interrogation techniques, which some call torture, while Republicans, who have previously shied away from investigations about that, are now calling for hearings to learn about what Pelosi actually did know. But according to an attorney who has worked on both the Senate Intelligence Committee and with the CIA, there was little Pelosi could have done to affect the Bush administration's decision on the Enhanced Interrogation Techniques program. To stop it, she needed the whole Congress. Vicki DeVall is an instructor of government at the U.S. Naval Academy, but previously served as counsel to the CIA and the Senate Intelligence Committee. Her op-ed in last week's New York Times referenced the controversy, entitled Congress's Tortured Battle.
Well, yes. I mean, the point of having the briefing be limited to as I wrote in the piece in the New York Times, to a group of eight, which is what the law anticipates, and in this case it was a group of four, which has become common practice but really is not recognized as a lawful notification in the National Security Act. Once you've broken down and given a tight hold, a classified briefing to a small group of legislators, you've basically put them in a position of knowing something that they can't do anything about. And it is opportunistic, in my opinion, at least it can be used that way by an administration to limit the people who received the briefing, but be able to say, we told Congress, when in fact they didn't really tell Congress. They told a handful of members who aren't in a position to do anything legislatively or budget-wise to make any changes in the program.
You write in your piece as well that in terms of speaking with Congress, that the Bush White House exploited this exception to not fully informing the Gang of Eight, as opposed to, say, the entire intelligence committees, and when it came to covert action, that they, in fact, have a responsibility to do that. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, the law provides the Bush administration or any administration to notify covert actions if we consider this to have been one. It could also just be normal collection activities, which many lawyers believe it really was. We've been treating it as a limited notification option as covert action because that's what they in fact did. But in fact, there may not be no basis upon which they could brief anyone fewer than the full committee. If they brief the full committees, the committees can actually conduct oversight of this. They can react and they can pass budget measures limiting the funding or write laws that would limit their ability to do that. If you tell a small number, either four or eight, they cannot do anything. They cannot do any kind of legislative conduct. So it's really an ineffective notification. Other administrations have done this as well, though it's not limited to the Bush administration. But I have a feeling, though I don't know for sure, that they've done it in more frequently than others.
Right. And also, we have learned, of course, is that Jane Harman, who replaced Nancy Pelosi as the Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, did write a letter in 2003, but again, for all intents and purposes, it did nothing other than to note that she wrote a letter that she was upset about what was going on there.
Well, right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with writing such a letter. I remember that Senator Rockefeller did the same with the NSA wiretapping program. He was briefed on that program and was concerned and wrote a classified letter and had it hand-delivered to Vice President Cheney's office. And that's similar to what Congresswoman Harman did. I think at least they expressed, you know, concern. I think they probably knew at the time, and it certainly proved to be the case, that it had no effect whatsoever. For one, particularly when the House of Representatives was in Republican hands, for one Democrat to express discontent with something she'd been briefed secretly on, it puts her on the record as having objected for future reference, as now, for example, she's able to point to that and say, I did not approve. But her lack of approval was meaningless at the time.
Going back to House Speaker Pelosi, of course, who had a news conference last week and said and has led to
great controversy that she believed she was misled by the by that briefing. And in fact, we know that Senator Bob Graham, who was also briefed in the, around that period of time, he was the Senate Intelligence Chief of the Democrats, says he took copious notes and has no recollection of that whatsoever. Nevertheless, it's a big contretemps now in Washington, D.C. Mr. Fall, isn't it fair to say that it has happened in the past where the CIA has been known to, if not mislead, not to give accurate information out? I mean, that has happened in the past.
I wouldn't say that. I worked at the Central Intelligence Agency as a lawyer and advised them on briefings and how they brief, and I'm very familiar with how they do that. I think that in any situation where you have a small briefing with briefers giving information and senators and congressmen receiving information, that the recollections are going to be quite different. The perceptions of what was said and what was understood are quite different. I have no reason to believe that the CIA misled her or said anything untruthful. I would highly doubt that they did. But that doesn't mean that her understanding of what they said is the same as what they thought it was. And the sad part is, the unfortunate part is, that they keep records, they take notes, but the members don't. Senator Graham does because he's a big note taker. But they're advised not to, and when they take notes, often the agency takes the notes from them and brings them back to Langley, because they're notes about a classified program that they have no place to store them on the Hill that would satisfy the administration. So I think with the Pelosi-CIA controversy that, in fact, I suspect that it was a truthful briefing. It may not have had as much information as she would have liked. She may not have understood it the way they intended for her to understand it, but the only written record we're going to have is going to be theirs. So what she understood at the time is going to be hard to discern.